We're back with another Bar Conversation Shorty, and we have a really amazing guest this week. He's a folk legend. He's got a new album because I don't think he can ever stop making new music. It's called Never Too Late. Let's welcome in Jim Kweskin.
Hi.
And did I get Kweskin right?
Oh yeah, you said it right.
Okay. Wasn't too sure. I got a little bit of a stuffy nose, so I wasn't sure how it all came out today, but. Like I said, you've got that new album out, Never Too Late, which features 18 different duets with some of your friends. And it goes across a variety of, I feel like, different generations and different songs. Can you tell us a little bit about why you wanted to do that project?
Different generations, different genres, and it just so happens on this album, all of the duets I do are with women. So it's me and a bunch of women. And all of these people that I recorded with are people that I also do performances with, or most of them anyway. And we had worked up some really good stuff that we do on stage, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to get some of these songs that we had worked on and on a record? That's all. So, and they're all over the country. When I'm in California, Southern California, I perform with somebody named Julie Crockett, who you probably never heard of, but she has a wonderful band out in LA area. When I'm in San Francisco, I'm performing with often with Meredith Axelrod, and she and I have actually made an album together, an earlier album, just the two of us. And also Maria Muldaur, who you may have heard of. I don't know if some people are familiar with her. She had a big hit in the 70s, a song called Midnight at the Oasis. And before that, she was in my band in the 60s. And then on the East Coast, I perform with Samoa Wilson, and who's I've made several records with, and Rose Guerin, and my granddaughter, Fiona Kweskin. So I thought, what a great opportunity to bring them all together into a recording studio and record a bunch of these duets that we perform.
Well, and I was going to say, why did you want to cast such a wide range? Like you said, you got different genres, different generations. And when I say generations, we're talking you got songs from the 40s, 1940s to, a little closer to now and so forth. So why did you want to showcase so much?
Well, also songs from the early before the 1920s. I mean, it's my whole career has been bringing up songs that people maybe have never heard before, but that are, from the history of American music, not only folk music, but history of pop music. About a few years ago, I was on stage performing, and I was talking to the audience, and I said, nowadays, if you do a song that somebody else did or is famous for or wrote, it's called covering it. It's you're doing it after somebody else has already done it. I said, but if I do a song, if I perform a song or record a song that's like recorded 90 or 100 years ago, like in the 1920s or 1930s, something, am I covering it? And somebody in the audience said, no, you're uncovering it. And I thought, well, that's really cool. That's what I do, and that's what this record is. It's me finding beautiful musical gems from the past and giving them new arrangements, and that's what I love to do.
Well, I was going to say, you've had such an amazing career and a long career. Like you said, you might have been around for a few years. What's the journey been like for you? I mean, whether you go what you're doing now to your time with the Jug Band and everything in between.
Well, I mean, it's you get to be my age, you have perspective on it. When I was young, that's all I wanted to do was, travel around, play music, be on stage. I don't know about being a star, but certainly being known well enough so that I could get plenty of gigs, so I could, make a living at it. as I got older, I got involved in other things. I got into the construction business, and I never stopped doing music, but it became more of a backseat to my life for a number of years. And then about 8 years ago, I retired from the construction business, and I got back into the music business on a much more consistent basis. And, you know, I've done a lot of TV and a lot of radio and a lot of records and a lot of gigs. And it's just, it's fun for me. It keeps me going. Keeps me alive. Keeps me happy.
Well, like you said, you kind of took a little bit of time off, at least maybe from the recording and doing things like that when you kind of went into the construction world.
Actually, I interrupt you. I didn't actually stop any of those things. I just slowed down. I made records in the 70s. I made records in the 80s. I made records in the 90s. You know, so I kept doing it. I just not, you know, I was busy doing other things at the same time.
Well, and then you kind of, though, like you said, after you retired, you came back to this maybe full time. You know, it was the what makes you keep doing music and keep doing things like this?
Well, what the hell else am I going to do, man?
That's a good answer.
And that's, you know, I love it. It's been my life. It's still my life. And well, going all the way back to, you know, when I was a kid, that's all I wanted to do. And music was my life. And it still is.
Well, and I know recently, I think it was last month, you got to do the extravaganza where you kind of had so many of these folks and different things to kind of celebrate your career. What was that like in being able to do that show?
Well, that concert was really quite amazing. This was in the Boston area, and it was called the Jim Queskin Extravaganza, and it was a lot more people on stage than I normally have. Usually when I do a gig, there's like maybe five or six of us, a small band, you know. This had 20 people, and it was a couple of, there's a trumpet player and a clarinet player and a couple of dobros or slide guitar players and two fiddlers, and I mean, it's a whole stage, it was an orchestra basically. And I got to do a wide range of songs. Also, most of the women who are on the album, by the way, the women on the album are not just the singers that I do duets with, but the slide guitar player is a woman named Cindy Cashdollar. The fiddle player is Susie Thompson. The harmonica player is Annie Raines. So I've this particular go-round in my life, I've been doing music with a lot of women. And not, like I say, not just singing, but also the musicians in the group. Anyway, a bunch of them were on stage and a bunch of guys too. And the place was packed, the theater was packed, and it was fun. And it was everybody, you know, it's hard for me to judge, but if I have to go by what other people said, they said it was great. And I sure had a good time.
Well, at the end of the day, I think that's what music's about, is about having a good time and sharing some cool things with folks. And, you know, like you said, this is what else are you going to be doing? I'm guessing you're not going to be slowing down anytime soon.
Well, my hands are slowing me down some. I mean, I'm 83 years old, so, you know, I don't have the energy and the stamina that I used to have. So I have actually slowed down.
But not all the way, though, right?
No.
So I'm guessing, though, as long as you can, you're going to keep performing music, making music, and uncovering those gems that you get to share with folks.
That's my goal. That's what I love to do. That's what I'm going to continue to do. I got a gig coming up in New York in a while at the place called the Iridium. So, I've got, you know, other performances in the works. So, I'm going to keep doing it. Where are you located?
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh. Huh. I've been there. Actually, I spent more time in Louisville than Lexington, but I've been there.
Yeah, I was going to say Louisville tends to get a lot more than we do, but lately we've been able to get a good bit of music coming through. But what, you know, as you do all this different types of music and uncovering different things, what are you always looking for on those songs that you uncover and find or just get to perform? What's the draw for you on those songs?
Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, for me, like any song, it's got to be personal. It's got to fit me. Combination of the obviously the melody and the words, the lyrics, but also the rhythm of the song and the rhythm of the words in the song. It's funny how people don't, many people, especially non-singers, would not even think about that necessarily, but how the words fit in the rhythm of the melody and how you can enunciate them and get them out and express yourself through the rhythm of the words is very important to me.
Well, and then too, when you're kind of, you know, some of those older songs, obviously you've got a little bit different technology these days, different instruments that you can maybe put in those songs. How fun is it to kind of give those a little bit of a new life and maybe a different arrangement?
That is the great fun, taking these old songs and giving them new arrangements. But also, you know, staying respectful of the tradition so that it's not taking a song and doing it so differently that you wouldn't even recognize it. It's just giving it a new twist, and I love it. And with different instruments, yes, that's true. Like I'll do an old pop song like Blue Skies written by Irving Berlin back in the 1920s and play it and sing it on the banjo. You know, which is, you know, that's something that, you know, nobody ever heard that song on the banjo before. But, you know, the way I do it, it works and it's fun.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like no matter what, people get to experience a little bit of history, but have a good time and hear some good music too. And for those that are going to check out your album, Never Too Late, Duets with Friends, what can they expect on that?
Well, it's on Story Sound Records. And, well, there's some old country songs, a song that was originally done by the original Carter family. There's a great song that I do with Maria Muldaur called Let's Get Happy Together. There's a wonderful Memphis Slim blues that I do with Rose Garin called Mother Earth. I don't know, somebody just have to get a hold of it and listen to it, because it's hard to describe it except to say that they're good songs and I'm happy to have done them, and I've done them with some wonderful musicians. So the album is, as far as I'm, it's also been on the charts. It's been number one on the folk charts for about 2 months now.
That's awesome. Well, and it's 18 songs, so you can kind of spend a whole evening, whole day giving a good listen, and I love that.
I'd like to give people their money worth.
Absolutely, especially in this day of singles.
These albums that have 9 or 10 songs, I mean, that's the norm nowadays, you know, but for me, I like to pack the album full, so give them a chance to, you know, you don't even have to listen to it all at once, you know. You can listen to half of it and then later on come back and listen to the other half, or however you want to do it. But yeah.
I was going to say, in this day and age of singles, it's amazing to see a project come to life like this, and it's cool to see what you've been able to do, and I appreciate you sharing a little bit of the legend and everything that you've done, and thanks for taking the time, Jim.
Sure. One other thing I'll say is that most albums nowadays are made by musicians laying down tracks. You know, somebody lays down the rhythm track, and then somebody lays down the, you know, the rhythm track, and then then the background tracks, and eventually the singer comes in and lays down his track. I don't make music that way. We do it live. So that the musicians can actually inspire each other. So things can happen, surprises can happen, and improvisation can happen, and the music is, you know, it's a group effort, not just one at a time.
I love to hear that too, because that is a really cool thing, and it is kind of a lost art. Although I feel like it's starting to come back just a little bit.
Yes,
it
is.
Every now and then.
Especially in the alt music world, you know, not so much in the pop music world, but in the alt music world, yes, people are making records. You know, when you go in the studio, you have baffles between you so they can separate the sound and they can isolate you so that, you know, your vocal can be, you can bring up the bass or the treble or whatever, you know, mix your sound and mix the other instruments separately, but still we can hear each other while we're playing the music and inspire each other.
I was gonna say it's a different sound, and it's a cool sound, because really it is what you will hear live is what you hear on the tape, and that's kind of extra cool too.
And even if there's a, you know, a couple of little mistakes, you know, where somebody does something different and you say, oh, you weren't expecting that. And then you react to that. And it's little magical things happen that cannot happen when you're just laying down tracks.
Well, it's a cool album. That's why I said yes to
thank you to
sharing it out. I hope people give it a listen because it really is cool. And they need to take a deep dive. And you're an amazing history, because it's a deep dive, and it's one that I think they'll be pretty amazed by. And like I said, Jim, I appreciate the time.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.